Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Saturday, June 6th, and 82 years ago today, roughly 156,000 soldiers crossed the English Channel and stormed the beaches of Normandy in France. It was the largest military operation in human history, and it was the beginning of the end of the deadliest war ever fought. If you know one thing about D-Day, it's probably beaches, Normandy, World War II, right? But most people couldn't explain why the invasion was happening, what the world looked like if it failed, or how a plan this massive came down to a weather forecast, a fake army made of inflatable tanks, and the fact that when the attack started, the man who controlled the German counterattack was asleep and nobody could wake him up. By June of 1944, Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany had been at war for nearly 5 years and controlled most of continental Europe. France had fallen in just 6 weeks in 1940. Belgium, the Netherlands, Denmark, Norway, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Austria, Yugoslavia, and Greece were all under German occupation or allied with the Axis powers. The Holocaust was underway. Millions of Jewish people, Roma, disabled people, and political prisoners were being systemically murdered in concentration and extermination camps. The war had two main fronts. So on the Eastern Front, the Soviet Union had been fighting Germany since 1941 and bearing the overwhelming majority of casualties. Roughly 80% of all German military deaths in the war came from fighting the Soviets. Stalin had been demanding that the U.S. and Britain open a second front in Western Europe since 1942 in order to take pressure off the Red Army. On the Western side, the U.S. had entered the war after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor in December 1941. American and British forces had fought in North Africa and Italy, but hadn't attempted to retake France, which was the key to liberating Western Europe. That was D-Day's purpose. France had been under German control for 4 years, and the Allies needed to land an army on the French coast, establish a foothold, and push east toward Germany while the Soviets pushed west. Squeeze Germany from both sides was the plan. And if the invasion had failed, there might not be another opportunity for a year or more. The Soviets might take all of Eastern and Central Europe alone, which would reshape the post-war world entirely. And every day the war continued, the Holocaust continued. So the stakes were just not abstract. Both sides actually knew the invasion was coming. The Allies had nearly 3 million soldiers staged in southern England by May 1944. Trust me, you just can't hide 3 million people. The question was, where would it land? The Allies needed their enemies, the Germans, to believe that the target was going to be the Pas de Calais, which is the narrowest crossing of the English Channel, about 150 miles northeast of the actual target in Normandy. To make this work, they launched Operation Fortitude, which historians have since called the most successful deception in the history of warfare. They created a completely fictional army. The first United States Army Group existed only on paper. In radio transmissions and in fields full of inflatable tanks visible from German Renaissance planes, they put General George Patton, the most feared American commander, in charge of it, because the Germans believed Patton was going to lead the real thing. They built dummy landing crafts, they set up empty tent encampments, and generated thousands of fake radio messages detailing troop movements for an army that didn't exist. The human side of the deception was even more extraordinary. British intelligence had caught every single German spy operating in Britain and turned several into double agents. A Spanish man named Juan Paul Garcia, codename Garbo, ran a fictional spy network that the Nazis believed was their most valuable intelligence source in the country. For 2 years, Garbo fed the Germans a mixture of true but harmless information and carefully placed lies. So on the night before D-Day, Garbo warned his German handlers that Normandy was about to be attacked, timed so the message arrived too late to act on, which made him look even more credible. Days after the real invasion, Garbo sent another message. Normandy was the diversion. The real attack was still coming on Calais. And guess what? Hitler believed it. He held his reserve Panzertank divisions at Calais for 7 weeks after D-Day, waiting for another invasion that never came. 7 weeks of reinforcements that could have pushed the Allies back into the sea, frozen in place by rubber tanks and double agents radio. D-Day was supposed to be June 5th. A massive storm forced a postponement, though. Eisenhower's chief meteorologist, a Scottish officer named James Stagg, found a brief window of tolerable weather on June 6th before conditions worsened again. Eisenhower had to decide, wait and risk the Germans discovering the plan, or go on a forecast nobody was confident about. So he went. Before the ships launched, Eisenhower wrote a note to be released if the invasion failed. It said, "Our landings in the Cherbourg-Havre area have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone." He dated that note July 5th by mistake. He put it in his wallet, but guess what? Never had to use it. So, good news. At midnight, 13,000 paratroopers jumped behind enemy lines to secure bridges and roads. Many landed in the wrong places. Some drowned in flooded fields. Some were shot in their parachutes. And at 6:30 a.m., the beach landings began across five beaches codenamed Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. The British and Canadians faced stiff resistance at Gold, Juno, and Sword, but advanced steadily. Utah was the smoothest landing, partly because winds pushed the boats to a less defended section of the beach. Omaha was a bloodbath. The preliminary bombing had missed most of the German fortifications. The amphibious tanks that were supposed to provide cover sank in the rough seas, 27 of 29 going down before reaching shore. Soldiers jumped from landing crafts into the chest-deep water, while machine gun fire raked the beach from concrete bunkers on the bluffs. Casualty rates in the first waves exceeded 50%, and for hours, commanders considered abandoning Omaha entirely. On the German side, the response was crippled by a series of failures that seem almost comic in retrospect, if you forget that thousands of people were dying. Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, who commanded the entire Atlantic Wall defense, had gone home to Germany to give his wife a pair of shoes for her birthday. He was certain the weather was too bad for an invasion. When Rommel's chief of staff called German High Command to request Panzer reinforcements, he was told Hitler was asleep and nobody would wake him. The Panzer divisions couldn't move without Hitler's personal authorization. And by the time Hitler woke up and approved the tanks, it was afternoon. And Allied air superiority made daytime movement a death sentence for German armor, and the chance to push the invaders back had passed. By the end of June 6th, about 4,400 Allied soldiers were dead. Thousands more were wounded. The American cemetery at Colville-sur-Mer, which overlooks Omaha Beach, holds 9,387 graves from the Normandy campaign. The youngest was just 17. The invasion worked. Within a month, over a million Allied troops were in France. Paris was liberated on August 25th. Germany surrendered on May 8th, 1945, less than a year later. The war that D-Day helped end killed an estimated 70 to 85 million people worldwide, roughly 3% of the global population. It remains the deadliest conflict in human history. The beaches, bunkers, and cemetery are all still there. The last large gathering of D-Day veterans was the 80th anniversary in 2024. Most attendees were in their late 90s. The generation that did this is almost gone. And with them goes the firsthand memory of what it felt like to load up onto a boat at midnight, cross a dark channel, and run toward a fortified beach where the odds of surviving were roughly a coin flip. So if you're outside enjoying this beautiful summer day and the freedom that comes along with it, here's what you should think about. D-Day was the Allied invasion of Nazi-occupied France on June 6, 1944. By that point, Hitler controlled most of Europe. The Holocaust was underway, and the Soviets were demanding a second front. 156,000 troops crossed the English Channel in the largest military operation ever attempted. The invasion succeeded partly because of an extraordinary deception campaign using inflatable tanks, fake radio traffic, and a double agent who convinced Hitler that Normandy was a diversion. It also succeeded because of a series of German failures. Rommel was home for his wife's birthday, Hitler was asleep, and nobody would authorize the tank reinforcements in Germany without him. About 4,400 Allied soldiers died that day. The war ended less than a year later. The people who stormed those beaches are almost all gone now. And today is the anniversary. The least we can do is understand what they did and why it mattered. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.